Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. It was a beautiful and sunny Tuesday morning as travelers and crew members boarded four early morning cross-country flights in airports on the East Coast of the United States. At about the same time, in New York City and in Washington, D.C., thousands of workers streamed into offices in the Twin Towers and in the Pentagon. It was not quite fall, but all indications were that it was going to be a very nice day. Then, the unthinkable happened. Hijackers commandeered the four flights shortly after takeoff and turned the four planes toward their intended targets. At 8:46 a.m., the first plane struck the North Tower of the World Trade Center in New York City. At 9:03 a.m., the second plane struck the South Tower. About 35 minutes later, the third plane dove into the Pentagon building. At about 10:03 a.m., the fourth plane crashed in a field in Pennsylvania as the passengers fought the hijackers for control of the aircraft. In less than 2 hours, 19 hijackers had killed nearly 3,000 Americans and injured about 6,000 while destroying the Twin Towers and inflicting serious damage on the Pentagon building. Some of those trapped in the Twin Towers jumped to their deaths, trying to escape the fires that were ignited by the plane's exploding fuel. Others waited in vain to be rescued and perished when the towers collapsed. All over America, the news hit like a shockwave. People were stunned at what they saw and heard in the news coverage of this attack. Everyone who was alive that day remembers where they were when they first received the news. The attack on 9/11 will always evoke strong emotions from those who were alive that day. Our ears still tingle every time we hear any reference to it. The idea of one's ears tingling at the thought of some event did not originate with the 9/11 attacks. A previous generation of Americans experienced such an event on December 7, 1941, when the Japanese executed their sneak attack on Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. But even this was not the first instance of an ear-tingling event. In the Old Testament, the Lord God warned of two events that would be ear-tingling to those who heard them. For a few moments today, we will consider the Lord's warnings and the events which fulfilled them. Then we will consider a New Testament warning about such an event that is yet in the future. The first instance that we will consider is found in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Here the scripture says, "Then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.' The Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel, at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever.'" This warning was provoked by the actions of Eli's sons, who served as priests at the tent of meeting. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22, the scripture says that these men had sexual relations with the women who served at the tent of meeting. They apparently did so on a recurring basis, so much so that all of Israel was aware of it and circulated reports of it among themselves. When Eli chastised them for their actions, they ignored him, and he apparently did nothing more to correct them. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 27 to 36, the scripture tells of a man of God who came to Eli and pronounced God's curse upon him and his family. At a time of God's choosing, Eli's family would be wiped out so that there would never be an old man in his house. The prophet also told Eli that the sign of this judgment would be the death of both of his sons on the same day. That's found in verse 34. This then was the backdrop to God's appearance to Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 10 to 14, which we have just read. The certainty of God's judgment in this case was borne out in the events recorded in chapter 4 of 1 Samuel. At that time, the Philistines came up against Israel and the two nations fought. Israel was defeated in the initial encounter, so they decided to take the Ark of the Covenant into battle with them when they met the Philistines again. When that battle was joined, not only was Israel defeated, but the Philistines captured the Ark and killed both of Eli's sons in the process. When this news came to Eli at Shiloh, he fell off his seat at the gate of the city and broke his neck and died. Thus, in a short span on a single day, Eli and his sons died before the Lord. Now, this was an ear-tingling event because it had been prophesied, but also because the circumstances of the deaths of Eli and his sons were so out of the ordinary. Eli was an old man and might have been expected to die at any time, but for him to die from falling off his seat was unimaginable. Likewise, his sons would not ordinarily be anywhere near the field of battle. For both of them to die in battle while carrying the Ark of the Covenant could be nothing but God's hand working against them. The scriptures do not explicitly say so, but the events of this day likely caused strong reactions from those who heard of them for many years to come. The second ear-tingling event in Israel's history occurred during the prophetic ministry of Jeremiah. There were actually two warnings of this event. The first warning came during the reign of evil King Manasseh of Judah, whose actions were the catalyst for God's judgment. We find this warning in 2 Kings chapter 21, verses 10 to 15. Here's what the scripture says. Now the Lord spoke through his servants the prophets, saying, Because Manasseh king of Judah has done these abominations, having done wickedly more than all the Amorites who were before him, and has also made Judah sin with his idols, therefore thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, Behold, I am bringing such a calamity on Jerusalem and Judah, that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle. I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria, and the plummet of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. I will abandon the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they will become as plunder and spoil to all their enemies, because they have done evil in my sight and have been provoking me to anger since the day their fathers came from Egypt, even to this day. While it is evident from the historical record that Israel was rebellious against God nearly from the moment they came out of Egypt, the tipping point obviously came when King Manasseh ascended to the throne. His father, Hezekiah, had been a good and righteous king, but his son was probably the most wicked man to sit on the throne of Judah. In 2 Kings chapter 21, verses 1 through 9, the scripture tells of all the evil that Manasseh did, including rebuilding the high places that his father had torn down, and even sacrificing his own son to an idol, very likely to Molech. In addition to this, Manasseh set a carved image of Asherah in the temple of God and consulted with the mediums and spiritists. Manasseh was succeeded by his son Amon, who ruled for only 2 years before being succeeded by his son Josiah. It was during Josiah's reign that Jeremiah came with the second warning of the impending ear-tingling event. This warning is recorded in Jeremiah 19, verses 1 through 9. Here the scripture says, Thus says the Lord, Go and buy a potter's earthenware jar, and take some of the elders of the people and some of the senior priests. Then go out to the valley of Ben-Hinnom, which is by the entrance of the potsherd gate, and proclaim there the words that I tell you, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I am about to bring a calamity upon this place at which the ears of everyone who hears of it will tingle. Because they have forsaken me and have made this an alien place and have burned sacrifices in it to other gods and that neither they nor their forefathers nor the kings of Judah had ever known, and because they have filled this place with the blood of the innocent and have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal, a thing which I never commanded or spoke of, nor did it ever enter my mind, therefore, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when this place will no longer be called Topheth or the Valley of Ben-Hinnom, but rather the Valley of Slaughter. I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hand of those who seek their life. And I will give over their carcasses as food for the birds of the sky and the beasts of the earth. I will also make this city a desolation and an object of hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and hiss because of all its disasters. I will make them eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they will eat each other's flesh in the siege and in the distress with which their enemies and those who seek their life will distress them. Jeremiah's warning was the second and final warning of this second ear-tingling event. It was also the immediate precursor of this calamity. During Jeremiah's prophetic ministry, the Babylonians laid siege to the city of Jerusalem. While the siege was underway, Jeremiah came with a message from God that was a final opportunity for Judah to save itself. In Jeremiah 21, verses 8 through 10, God offered to spare the lives of all who willingly surrendered to the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. Those who refused to surrender would suffer great deprivations and would ultimately die in the siege and in the battle after the walls of the city were breached. Unfortunately, Zedekiah, the king of Judah, refused to surrender and instead continued to resist the Babylonians. As the siege unfolded, the people inside Jerusalem suffered terribly. When the food ran out, cannibalism ensued. When the Babylonians breached the wall, the city was set afire, the temple was destroyed, and everything of value was taken from the city. The magnitude of the destruction was as great and as terrible as God had warned it would be. It is certain that the news of what happened to Jerusalem in this final siege did indeed cause the ears of all who heard of it to tingle. The writings of Ezekiel, who was among some of the earlier captives to be taken to Babylon, suggest the overwhelming sense of horror that gripped them when they heard of the destruction of Jerusalem. God's warning came true in every sense in this ear-tingling event. Now, the two ear-tingling events that we have briefly considered occurred long, long ago. Even so, they still elicit strong reactions when we read of them today. They should make our ears tingle not only for their historical significance, but also because they were precursors to the most ear-tingling warning yet to come. We read of this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Here Paul said, "This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed." Like the two ear-tingling events of the Old Testament, this warning speaks of an event in the unspecified future in which such a calamity will befall certain people that the very sound of the message should make the ears of everyone who hears it to tingle. The event that they're speaking of is the return of the Lord Jesus for judgment. It will be the most cataclysmic event to ever occur in the history of the world. As Peter described it in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, everything in the cosmos will be burned up when the Lord returns. The entire physical universe will be destroyed by the flaming fire that will accompany the Lord and his angels. There will be no place to hide and nowhere to run. And the very thought of this should shake us to the core. On that day, all the dead, the great and the small, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the things they did in life, whether good or bad, Romans 14, verse 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 10. Those whose names are in the book of life will enter heaven, but those whose names are not there will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death, Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15. Until and unless one is certain that his or her name is written in the book of life, the warning of this ear-tingling event should strike terror in his or her heart. This event is just as certain to come as the capture of the Ark of the Covenant and the death of Eli and his sons, and just as certain as the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. No one of sound mind will ignore this warning. Eli and his sons were long past the time when they could avoid God's wrath. They were too far gone in their sins. In a similar way, the king of Judah and the people of Jerusalem were beyond the time of repentance, even though God gave them one final opportunity to do so. As we consider the final ear-tingling event of which God has warned us, we still have time to make ourselves ready for it. Final judgment is coming, and with it the total destruction of the physical realm, but we don't have to fear this event. Those who obey the gospel and remain faithful to the Lord until death will find their names written in the book of life when he returns for judgment. We have been warned that this ear-tingling event is coming, but we do not know when it will come. Not even the Son of God knows when this will be, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. What we do know for certain is that today is the day of salvation. This is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Therefore, obey the gospel today so that you will be ready for the final, ultimate, ear-tingling event of human history. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.